Well, among many other things, being Gaudete Sunday, it's also Bambinelli Sunday. So an opportunity for you to have your little baby Jesus is blessed. So we're going to start, before I start my homily, we're going to do a little blessing with that. If I could have my servers. Awesome. So if you want to hold up your little baby Jesus, I'll offer the blessing. God, our Father, you loved us so much, you sent us your only son, Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, to save us and lead us back to you. We pray that with your blessing, these images of Jesus might be a sign of your presence and love in our homes. God, our Father, give your blessing to all who gather with us this Christmas, family and friends. Open our hearts that we might receive Jesus in joy. Always do what he asks of us and see him in those who need our love. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, keep holding them up because I'm going to come around and sprinkle them now. So many beautiful traditions, just a treasure chest of our Catholic faith. I love it. So this morning, I was greeting people who were coming and saying goodbye to people who were leaving and looking at the little children's, and there's just huge smiles on their face. And you could just tell that a lot of that smile had to do with Christmas is coming, right? And the joy. St. Paul exhorts us to have that kind of joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Wait a minute, I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. And then we see this gospel, and I tried to read it in the way that that most scripture scholars would say the way it went down. They were just filled with expectation, it said. They were so filled with joy. Why? Because they had received their baptism, and they said, how can we please God now? What should we do? And John basically told him, okay, you guys got to be on the side of right versus wrong, of good versus evil. You got to be honest. You got to, you know, be truthful. You got to do good deeds for others. That's when you have Christ within you, okay, then you're called to be Christ for others. And so all of that we're celebrating. I'm wearing rose vestment this weekend. And one of the many, first of all, it's a color of joy. Gaudete Sunday actually means rejoice. Again, I'm going to say it again, rejoice. Jesus is coming. And so this rose vestment portrays it. But also it's intended to be like that pink glow just before the sun peaks from the horizon in the dawn. The expression goes, it's always darkest before the dawn. But when the dawn comes and the light comes, look at all this light streaming in today. It's amazing. But to let the light of Christ come in. And I remember, too, that we talked about how it was on December 21st last year, the darkest day of the year, in one of the darkest years we've ever had, 2020, all of a sudden this Christmas star appeared. And with investigation, you learn that the last time this ever happened was almost 1,200 years or 800 years ago in 1226. And if you do a little, nowadays you can Google anything. If you do a little research there, you realize, okay, what happened in that year? Could that be pointing us to something? And we found out that in that year, the big thing that happened was that the practice of Eucharistic adoration came out of the monasteries and for the first time went into the parishes. Eucharistic adoration literally went viral that year. Then, talking today like a little child with Christmas coming, but then we found out that the bishops said, we need a Eucharistic revival. Awesome. And I'm hearing from some bishops, but I believe that the first move for this Eucharistic revival will be Eucharistic adoration. I've told you this before, but in all my 33 years of priesthood, I'd say 80 to 90% of the conversion stories I've heard, or people who had left the faith and returned back, is people who stumbled upon Eucharistic adoration. Why? Because there's something about spending intimate one-on-one time, you're face-to-face, right? Face-to-face with Jesus. So this year, one of the things that I was compelled to do, and thinking again about the dawn, it's always darkest before the dawn, we put the pedal to the metal here in our parish. And we said, you know what, we're going to put our best foot forward, and we're going to have what we called Heal Our Land, okay? And that's from 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I don't have it in front of me, but basically it says, if you seek his face, among other things, if you call upon his name and seek his face, that face-to-face encounter. I've even heard from a prophet, a self-proclaimed prophet over in Australia, who said that there's going to be a burst of people seeking his presence. Now, this isn't a Catholic self-proclaimed prophet. It's a Protestant one, but he said, there's going to be a movement in the United States of seeking his presence. And he said, now watch for Wisconsin. And we were like, well, yeah, bring it. And what have we been doing, too? We've been doing Eucharistic processions in the place where we've seen fires and looting and destruction in our streets. We brought our Lord right down there. But then what we did, again, we put the pedal to the metal. We started for 5 months. We started on the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, May 13th, okay, and went till the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, October 7th. And providentially, those 2 days fell on Thursdays, and so did a lot of other feasts in between that time. Important feasts happened to fall on Thursdays when we made the decision, I believe inspired by the Holy Spirit, to gather together for Eucharistic adoration. But we also united ourselves with our besides our Lord in Eucharistic adoration, with each other. You know, we need to be a force to be reckoned with. And it was on that morning on May 13th that I went back up to Blue Mountain State Park and got on top of that lookout tower before the sun rose. So it was 5:15 in the morning on May 13th. And there it was, that peak of that sun. And I took this picture. And I got to get it framed. But and there's the sun peeking up. And there's that rose hue on the horizon, like my vestment today. It's always darkest before the dawn. I believe light is coming back into the world. We're seeing already signs of this, where the darkness and the evil people who have been participating with this darkness and bringing this darkness into our land, they're getting thrown in jail, and they're retiring early for fear of being caught, and all this stuff, but they're being revealed because light is coming into the world and shining on that darkness. Now, Christ has a way in which he wants to bring the light in the world. This is his providence as well. He wants us to be that light, to push out the darkness. And so I believe with all my heart, I'm either a madman or I'm trying my best to tune into the Holy Spirit. But I believe that it is Eucharistic adoration that we're called to do. Again, the last time that Christmas star appeared, I actually brought a picture. Here it is, the Christmas star, December 21st, the darkest day of the year last year. We're coming up on the anniversary, 1 year anniversary of this, that God, in his providence, gave us this unique celestial event. A lot like the Star of Bethlehem, right? It's not weird for God to do stuff like that. But he's pointing us in a direction, I believe. And I do believe it's Eucharistic adoration. Because why? Venerable Fulton Sheen, he made a personal vow that all his life, He would never miss a day without an hour before the Blessed Sacrament in Eucharistic adoration. He would, even if he was scheduled to speak someplace, he'd look ahead to see what churches were open in the area and figure out how he could get before the Eucharist for his vow to keep that hour. But here's why he did it. He said, the reason I keep up the hour is to grow more and more into his likeness. As St. Paul put it, we are transfigured into his likeness from splendor to splendor. We become like that which we gaze upon. Looking into a sunrise, the face takes on a golden glow. Looking at the Eucharistic Lord for an hour transforms the heart in a mysterious way, as the face of Moses was transformed after his companionship with God on the mountain. What's going to ultimately win out in this battle that we're in? That more people rise up and say, yes, I want to be Jesus for others. Again, remember the gospel. What should we do? What should we do? How can we please God? And he gave examples, but ultimately to be Jesus for others. And that begins with freely sharing our joy. Gaudete Sunday, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. St. Paul said, my brothers and sisters, I believe this is our call in these times, in this day. This is the hand we've been dealt. These are the times that we are living in. What is the treatment? What is the spiritual protocol? Okay, to heal our land, to heal our world, for us to become as Christ as we can be, okay? And that comes when we spend time, intimate time, seeking the face of the Lord. I look at this picture of the sunrise and I think of, you know, doing Eucharistic adoration. I love it when it's dark out and that we lower the lights in the church and the Eucharist, the monstrance in the Eucharist glows like this sun peeking out of the horizon. It's amazing. And we let that glow fill us so that we become like these newly baptized people in the gospel. What do we do? How can we please God? Imagine a country where everybody had that spirit within them. How can we please God? How can we please God? But we got to start. You're most tuned in. You're most connected. But you got to let your glow grow. Okay? We all do. We got to let our glow grow. And that comes from Eucharistic adoration. I'm going to close with a quote from Pope Benedict XVI on his inaugural address, the first day he addressed everybody when he was made Pope in 2005. He said this: if we let Christ enter fully into our lives, if we open ourselves totally to him, are we not afraid that he might take something away from us? Or are we not perhaps afraid to give up something significant, something unique, something that makes life so beautiful? Do we not then risk ending up diminished and deprived of our freedom? And once again, the Pope said, no. If we let Christ into our lives, we lose nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing of what makes life free, beautiful, and great. No, only in this friendship are the doors of life open wide. Only in this friendship is the great potential of human existence truly revealed. Only in this friendship do we experience beauty and liberation. And so today, with great strength and great conviction, on the basis of long personal experience of life, I say to you, do not be afraid of Christ. He takes nothing away, and he gives you everything. When we give ourselves to him, we receive 100-fold in return. Yes. Open wide the doors to Christ, and you will find true life. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty.